treatment programs throughout LA County, clinical supervisor, and I rode in my car from the Navy Hospital in Long Beach to San Pedro to blah, 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 lots of places, and shared my words of wisdom. I have what they talk about in the program. I had a head full of program and a belly full of food. I was also working as a consultant to LA County Probation Department at the Los Padrinos Juvenile Hall, where I was teaching probation officers how to do psychodrama with acting out Crip gangs. And the probation officers used to stand behind a glass that was embedded with metal to protect themselves, and then they like throw me into this cage with all of these wild, crazy kids. And who I was at that time, I could meet them at their level of anger and rage, and wah! And great events came to pass, but I'll tell you, I was exhausted when I left the place. And I liked getting walked down the hall, and the probation officer had his big thing of keys, and they'd open the door and let me out, and bam, that door would slam, and I could breathe again. And then I would stop by a liquor store on the way home because I had been fasting all day. My usual method, I would fast all day until about 3 p.m. And then I would go in for a Diet Coke, that's what I told myself, and I would walk out with a shopping bag full of, and I heard you don't want to mention food at this meeting, so I won't, but let's say carbs, bag full of carbs, and binged in the car all the way home, binged through the night, and as my head hit the pillow, I again made firm resolve to fast for the next day. And that had been my life. And when I was in staffing at various of these alcoholism programs, I would see great families being discharged. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention that I also was at home with my daily morning drinker, alcoholic husband who beat me periodically. But I usually felt it was my fault that I had provoked him. I wanted to feel I had control of the violence coming toward me, because that's kind of how I'd been raised, as a battered child and grew into a battered wife. And it's a pretty common story. So I had all that exterior look good, smart, credentialed life. The unfortunate thing was that I weighed 222 pounds. So it didn't, and I'm only 5'2 now. So anyway, I didn't look so good. The image didn't fit. Somehow my body indicated I wasn't in sync. By the way, they just put up that before picture, and that was taken in Thailand. My husband worked for Pan Am. We traveled all over the world, and that was in a marketplace, and a nice little Thai woman came up to me, and she saw those arms there that you see, and she stuck her finger. She just stared at my arm, and she stuck her finger in and then pulled it out because she wanted to see if it would pop back. I was so bulbous compared to any people they had seen. And this was like the early 70s, so they hadn't seen all that many Americans, or at least fat Americans. They probably saw some GIs. But anyway, and that was one of the times I could look back and know that I had paid my dues, which stands for painful and incomprehensible demoralization. At least that's how it's named in the big book. I paid my dues every year of my life. I cannot imagine coming to any treatment program where people would put us down or berate us or make us feel bad about ourselves. We'd already done that pretty much. I had done that on my own. for all my life. I tried my best. I dieted my way to 222 pounds. But I would sit in those staffings and I would cry and I'd say, my God, we're helping all these alcoholics and there's no help for people like me. And the head psychiatrist, who I may talk about later, became a nemesis on my premises. But he said, yeah, there's no help for people like you. You've always been that way. You're always going to be that way. And I accepted that and I cried some more. I knew it was true. And then, so that was the summer of 1974, binging and fasting. And in early November of that year, I was doing a workshop at the San Pedro Women's Club. And did an exercise about what do you like about yourself. And a lady got up and she said, I've just lost 30 pounds at Overeaters Anonymous. Now, this was in Los Angeles, the birthplace of OA. I worked in the treatment field. No one had ever heard of Overeaters Anonymous. So I was flabbergasted when I heard this. Now, I didn't want anyone to know I was fat. So I waited till after the meeting to go any further. I sneaked up to her after the meeting. I figured, well, maybe my moo-moo had shifted. Every once in a while, someone could see a bulge. But I was an existential therapist, and I wanted them to know it was my existential decision to be fat, and I would do something about it as soon as I decided. That's what I believed, and that's what the world told me. But I went up to her and asked about it. And by the following Monday, November 22nd, 1974, I was sitting at a library in Palos Verdes. And I started hearing the language of surrender and the language of seeking help and admitting that my best efforts got me here. And without help, I probably couldn't ever get a hold on this thing. I won't say conquer it, because now 46 years later, I still will not say to you, I have conquered it. I'm gorgeous, I'm healthy, my body works for me, but I have not conquered anything. So a lot of things happened. My husband had a couple stints with EAPs and just kept drinking and beatings. And I kept having a lot of reasons why I couldn't leave. And, I was also hiding this at home because I didn't want anyone to think I couldn't cure my husband. I was a trained professional after all. And finally, one of my colleagues in alcoholism, I called him up and I said, and this is a guy I had trained. I mean, I was a teacher of counselors. I said, Len, there's things going on here. I know I shouldn't mix in, but yada, 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 a lot of that. And Len said, dude, go to Al-Anon. And he hung up. So I went to Al-Anon. So 6 months into the program, I had lost about my first 45 pounds. And I sat in the back chairs of the Al-Anon meetings, sobbing. Oh, this says my speaker is not working. Is that true? No. You can hear me? Yes. Okay, fine. I got a notice on my thing. Anyway, so that started again. I found a lady who shared a story about how adaptive she was, how she immediately fit into what other people needed. They never even had to ask her. She would just rise to the occasion of being magnanimous and self-forgetting and all this blah. And So I asked her to be my sponsor because I related to that. And I told her, I got to leave this SOB. And she said, well, dear. And always, yeah, well, dear. She said, well, dear, our program usually suggests we wait at least a year. And during that year, you work on yourself and learn more about yourself. And then after a year, you could probably make that decision better. And you'll know what you're dealing with in terms of you, not him. We will take our eyes off him, focus totally on you. So that really beefed up my recovery. You know, the whole Al-Anon little thing where they say, when there's one finger pointing this way, there's three pointing back at you. And I started my very serious work of looking at my part in things and who I was. And this is, you know, after I'd already been trained as a therapist. So I lost my first 60 pounds. A year to the day, I quietly, without rancor, said to my husband, Howard, one of us is leaving today. If it's not you, it'll be me. And he said, well, okay, I'll leave. And unfortunately, I was still hoping that it would work out. I was saving money that we'd go on a trip as soon as he really sobered up. But it's a sad story, and he eventually died of alcoholism. But at that moment of when I said that to him, I knew that he was on a downhill train. And I had a choice of if I could start my engine a little bit heading out of the morass. And I won't go into all the details of my childhood and why I'm that way. We all came by this honestly. He came by his alcoholism honestly. And I'm sorry for how that went, but it was a survival decision. And I'll tell you, throughout my recovery, I have been here selfishly. It's a selfish program. And if anyone else benefits from my recovery, that's great. I have sponsees I work with. I'm happy to work with them. They're great for my recovery. But if it becomes, and my sponsor used to say, she had a lot of what we called babies in those days. And every once in a while, she'd declare a moratorium. And she'd say, I can't take any calls for a while. I need to decompress from all this chaos that she was taking on. And I understand that. You know, there's just so much you can listen to. There's so much you can be in it. And imagine, I worked about a 60-hour week dealing with people's chaos. And then I had my own chaos at home. And then I had to be at my own meetings listening to other people. So I have a high tolerance for that, based on what I've come from. And that's been great. And that's why I could work with those violent kids, because I didn't think they were violent. I just thought they were people like I'd always known. And I met them as people, not as thems, you know? So anyway, so like, you know, I've been in OA 46 years. A lot of things happened. I faced my own alcoholism 6 years later, and that's been a great road. Within that first year, still working with that same psychiatrist who had been my mentor, things changed. I started feeling more and more confident about myself. My sponsor said, we're not meant to crawl before anyone. He tried to rip off a book I was writing. I said, you know, it's really, and he convinced me it was a good idea because he was a psychiatrist and the media would listen to him and not me. And I said that to my sponsor, and my sponsor said, in our program, we're supposed to honestly accept our gifts as well as our defects. And you are to celebrate your recovery. And I said, yeah, but this is medicine, you know, blah, blah. And anyway, Eventually, I got kicked out. I started the nation's first eating disorder unit. And there was conflict between this guy and me, mostly ego involved. But I will say I was on the phone with my sponsor every day throughout. And I behaved like a lady, although I was terrified with these Beverly Hills lawyers and all these kind of high-powered people I'd never dealt with. And I'd learned in these rooms about walking tall and quietly. And I was kicked out, and I was devastated. And this treatment center had been my whole life. You know, I didn't have a marriage anymore. I poured everything into it, and I was out on the street. And people in the program said, you know, God doesn't close one door without opening a new one. I didn't like any of that. So I said, well, I got a lot of time on my hands. I had just bought a new house at the beach. I'll finish my PhD dissertation. May as well. That became a popular book, became a bestseller. I was on Oprah 3 times, launched a media career and a lecture circuit throughout the country. I didn't envision any of that for moi. But, and here I thought the worst thing, you know, there's a phrase in the program, just before a caterpillar thinks it's the end of the world, they turn into a butterfly. And that's what happened. I just flew away. I did OA retreats around the country for years, It was fabulous. Enhanced me, enhanced them. Wonderful stuff. I became involved in Buddhism and Hinduism and spirituality. And a lot of that is still my spiritual practice today. Yoga. All mixed together. And someone's saying they don't hear me. I don't know what to do. But some of you do. Okay. Anyway. So, but you know what? Okay, so it was fabulous. That's all I can say. I've had a great life, and it's just been great. But after a few years, it just started not feeling spark for me. I felt like I was kind of, one, resting on my laurels. An old-time AA speaker who I love, Bob E., used to say that eventually he found himself paying homage to his image. You know, and I found myself saying the same old things that had always worked. I knew where the laugh lines were. I was kind of like a dancing doll, but I wasn't growing from it. You know, one line I like to use is, to lose the fat risk, we must live at risk. And I do want to keep staying on the edge and risking. So as it turned out, I started declining all these engagements, and the media stopped calling me. I had a lot of television going on. Even 1 year earned SAG, what do you call it, health insurance, which is a big deal, and just for 1 year. But it just faded. I faded. It wasn't alive for me. And we've got to be alive and aware. And anyway, I think I probably talked a long time. So I'll tell you now that I'm very grateful to speak here. I have not spoken for a very long time in any recovery program or even professionally. And I was afraid about talking. And at the beginning, before I said an old psalm from the Old Testament, it says, let the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable unto thee, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Today I have a a shrine out in my backyard. I have a lot of things I've collected from my travels throughout Southeast Asia and in many Buddhist countries. And I take a candle or an incense and I practice what I learned in Bali about just, you know, making a little something at each of these things. And most of the symbols there are about love and friendship and luck and joking and fun. And when I, at my first meeting, these ladies said, "Oh, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful." I said, "Shut up. If I hear that G word one more time, I hated it." And now I have become one of those ladies. I am totally filled with gratitude. We just got some news that my husband has a brain tumor. And because of COVID and a lot of things with MRIs and stuff, we have to wait till September again to get further news on what's going to be about this. And I love him terribly. And I'm only filled with gratitude that I grew. Oh, I remember, just let me say this, as I was dating throughout all this, I kept dating the same kind of violence. And my sponsor said, "You're not ready yet for the kind of man you want to end up with." And 26 years ago, I met this man full of integrity and honesty and gentle strength. And I was attracted to that. And he was attracted to some of that in me. And so I don't know what the outcome is going to be of this, but I've learned in this program to live one day at a time and to savor my journey. And, you know, we'll see. We'll see. And I pray each day for the strength to proceed. And I like to keep my food in order so that I can be aware for the messages and the vibrations that need to come through my body so I can live in clarity. And thank you. I have had such, and I am having such a fabulous, great life. And I really owe it to all of you who've listened to my stuff. And I'll, okay, that's enough out of me. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Judy. That was just wonderful to hear, and such a rare chance to